Welcome to this special edition podcast. Today we're talking with Steve Pelisek, the general manager of Titleist Golf Clubs, and Stephanie Bazilla, also of Titleist. She's the Metalwoods development manager. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Alan Olson is also with us. We're talking today about the new 909 drivers, three models, the 909D Comp, the 909D2, and the 909D3. But first we're going to talk about the 907s, the current, or perhaps by the time you hear this, the last generation models. Despite the different shapes, the launch conditions of the two 907 drivers were virtually identical, and the club was perhaps a little harder to fit to a wide range of players because you had two drivers with one set of launch conditions. Many of the Titleist Tour staff stuck with the 905R. Do you consider the 907 line a failure?
Ouch. No, absolutely not, Eric. But it is probably worthwhile going back and reviewing what the design intent was for 907. You know, 907 was at the time the best driver we'd ever made here. And the 907s, basically, they're in effect more stable versions of the 905R. Because what we focused on with the 907 line was stability. You know, stability and forgiveness. And at the time, MOI was the buzzword. So it was about stability and forgiveness through higher overall ball speeds and MOI. So if you fit into 907, you know, it was a fantastic driving machine, but what we learned was that there's a limitation when you go at forgiveness and stability, which was a change for us because, you know, as you know, prior generations were more about, you know, whether it was with the T in the S or the R in the S or even the K in the E, they were more about launch windows. We abandoned that because it seemed as if consumers were more interested in the time in talking about stability and forgiveness. We knew that would generate some limitations, and it turned out exactly that way, you know. And so we decided that, you know, what apparently resonates more with our, again, our better player audience and with tour players is the ability to help them hone in on precisely the launch conditions that are going to optimize their ability to drive a ball. So it was a little change in direction. The drivers performed the way we expected them to, which was deliver stability and forgiveness. But it appears that a better route for us is to make sure that whenever we offer a driver, that there's that window, a range of launch conditions, really. So, yeah, that's why we're so excited about 909, is it gets us that.
How has the player adaptation to the PGA Tour gone? Have most of the players switched from the 905 or the 907 to the 909? And approximately what percentages are being fit into each model?
The PGA Tour acceptance of the 909 driver family has gone exceptionally well thus far. The ball flight and fitting options that we offer with 909, the players have really adapted to and been very open to as well. Current status of 909 on the PGA Tour is that we have about 70% of our staffers converted over into the 909 D2, D3, or D-Comp product, with the distribution within that being about 10% within the D-Comp, 50% playing the D2, and 10% playing the D3. Outside of that, our existing inline product that is currently in the bags of our staffers, there's about 10% of players still playing 905Rs, and about 20% are still in 907 products. You know, we're still early in the process, so we do anticipate throughout this postseason play that we'll see the rest and the majority of our Titleist staffers coming into the 909 line because of the variety and the trajectory and the performance that we offer within that product.
It's going to take a little while to go around the world and get everybody to get fit properly.
So it sounds like you were able to learn a lot from the 907. What did you learn in creating the 909 series from the 907?
The main lesson learned from 907 is that we do have a necessity to offer a variety of fitting options because of the types of players and the swing conditions that we fit. The 909 series improves by providing a family of drivers with improved stability and launch condition performance with three distinct trajectory windows to address the ball flight needs of our target audience, the tour and better player.
The 907 D1 was Titleist's first foray into the geometric driver category, and though a few people loved them, they didn't sell very well, and it's not hard to notice that there are no funny shapes in the 909 line. Why the brief advance and then the immediate retreat from geometry?
Well, again, I think the question itself almost summarizes the whole issue. 907 D1 was an MOI play. You know, we wanted to develop a driver that would deliver good launch conditions with very high MOI. That was the buzz at the time. And if anything, I think we learned that for our audience, which is generally a more skilled audience, MOI is not their number one issue. And so we didn't need to go to the extreme geometry to deliver an overall overall really well-balanced design that was much more in line with what they wanted. You know, when we asked, we found that there was a number of issues that they placed higher importance than MOI. So I think 909 became the theme internally, really almost became balance, you know, in the approach, the overall approach, and even in the tagline that folks will see for the advertising, performance you can believe in. It seemed like better players were coming back saying, I need the driver to look good. I need the driver to sound good. I needed the driver to feel good, and sound and feel are really related. In addition to delivering the hardcore numbers, the launch conditions that I'm looking for, and that all needs to add up to confidence and something that I can believe in. So that's a quick summation of about 1,000 better players, but we took that to heart. And so I think it turned into really an exercise to do a much more balanced approach. And we think 909 embodies that very well.
We made it our objective, particularly with the 909D comp model, to address high inertia within a balanced traditional profile and a visual shape that's acceptable to our core target audience, but achieving that high level of performance and stability that's necessary for some of our playing audience.
Right. All of the 909 drivers have a higher MOI than 907D2. We learned all those. We keep getting better. They're not quite as high as 907D1 because, again, D1 was an MOI play. That was its purpose. It's more about balance in this case, but I think in every one of the design elements, we continue to improve. We just haven't overemphasized, in this case, MOI.
All right, you mentioned the decomp specifically and the sound. I was interested in that because when I came out in June and we hit the drivers, it took me a little bit because, you know, the finish wasn't quite done yet, so you couldn't see the composite crown. I hit it a few times and had to check to make sure I was still hitting a composite driver because it sounded so metallic. So what does the composite construction allow you to do, and how do you get it to sound so metallic when seemingly every other composite driver sounds clunky, hollow, you know, whatever you want to say?
The 909 decomp construction, it employs a low-density, lightweight composite crown to free up the discretionary mass, which allows us to hit our CG and MOI design intent values and our performance characteristics. Often, as you indicated, Eric, composite drivers have a negative market perception for their acoustic and their feel quality. At Titleist, our research and our Metalwood development team spent a significant amount of time engineering the sound and the feel of the 909 drivers. Our goal, which we achieved with the composite driver, was to produce fully composite crown performance driver that sounded like an all-titanium driver. We did this through modal analysis, through finite element analysis, and through significant player testing for the validation as well.
If I could comment, too, on that one, Eric, what I thought was interesting as I was watching this and Stephanie and her team doing all the work was we didn't really set out initially to make a comp driver. On the drawing board, there wasn't this hole there that said, well, okay, we need to make a comp driver. No, there was a design objective, a performance objective, and it was to be the highest launching of the three drivers without excessive spin. And it just basically turned out that making, and correct me if I'm wrong, but comp seemed to be the solution here. It wasn't the objective. The performance was the objective, and the best way to get at that was comp. And as soon as it became a viable option from a performance standpoint, the immediate issue was, okay, we need to make sure this still sounds and feels and looks like a Titleist driver. So it was really cool kind of seeing how that whole thing evolved. Comp was the solution. It wasn't the objective there.
The 909 D3 seems to be an updated sibling of the 907 D4, which was never released. In my experience, a lot of people seem to be quite excited about the D3, but with its lower launch and lower spin, is it really a driver suited for a large number of people, or would most people better likely be fitted in either the D2 or even the D-comp?
It's almost got a little bit of a cult following is what this question gets at. So a lot of people think that 907 D4 and now 909 D3 is almost like the driver. You know, I don't know if these people are a little tour obsessed or what, but that's kind of what we're asking there.
Yep.
Exactly. The 907D4 did have an incredible market perception buzz because the 907 line in general didn't offer a lower spinning ball flight option. The 909D3 is a suitable driver for players with high spin launch characteristics with mid to high launch angles. The D3 has been designed for improved playability over the 907D4. It's not a tour-specific play. It is a low-spin driver, but it is designed for improved stability with reduced spin. And so it's an acceptable general market driver in that regard as well.
Yeah, remember, D3 has a higher MOI, for example, than 907 D2 did. Each one of these is and improves on a number of performance variables. And we're seeing that initially as it's pre-launched right now, but we're seeing it already on the tour and with some of the club professionals and the folks that we're fitting. D3, it probably has a little broader acceptance than we initially felt. And the feedback from the field, from our folks and from some of our customers is that D3 is going to do really well. It's not extreme in its performance.
If we look at, once again, back to the distribution on the PGA Tour, however, you'll notice only 10% of players are playing the D3. I point to that, to the fact that the PGA Tour in general, players are already at very high launch, low spin conditions. They're not in the same launch condition window as the general market, which typically needs more spin reduction, which makes the 909 D3 a great option for the playing population outside of the Tour. If we look at D2 and D-Comp, generally, those products will fit a broader audience of players. They provide for an optimal fit with improved trajectory control and increased distance and dispersion potential as well.
Okay. We've kind of danced around launch angles and spin, but how do all three of them relate to each other in terms of launch angle, spin, relative to each other, MOI, and how do those numbers compare with clubs that players may be looking to replace, specifically 905R and the 907 models?
Well, if we start first with the 909 model line specifically, the 909 D2 is what we would consider our mid-launch, low-to-mid-spin product. From that, looking at 909 D-Comp, a higher launch, low-to-mid-spin product, similar spin to 909 D2, but it launches about a half a degree to a degree higher. 909 D3 relative to 909 D2 launches about a degree lower with about 200 RPMs lower spin than 909 D2. All of that with respect to our previous inline product, 905R and 907 D2. 909 D2 launches very similarly to 905R, but with lower spin because of our improvement in our center of gravity placement and our inertia properties. So we anticipate seeing about a 100 to 200 RPM lower spin difference over 905R at the same ball flight trajectory. 907 D2 was a lower launching option versus 905R at very similar spin. We're moving players into a more optimal distance and dispersion control potential.
Well, we've had a few questions about the stock shafts that are being offered for the 909 line, and I must say that they definitely seem like a steal at $400 for a complete driver when some of the shafts, for instance, the Voodoo, sells for $350 alone. What's a buy Titleist version of a shaft, and how does it differ? And also, why the upcharge for what were previously stock shafts?
I'll address the stock shaft version. I'll let Steve address the custom list and exotic list that Titleist offers. The buy Titleist version is designed to be true to the aftermarket performance shaft, which is why we consider them to be an incredible offering as well. They're an added value to the 909 line and offer discrete performance advantages to our driver line. The main point of difference between the buy Titleist versions and the aftermarket versions is that we've employed a slightly higher torque value within the buy Titleist versions. Our testing has indicated that for the 909 drivers, players prefer shafts that actually have slightly higher torque. They produce better launch conditions, they're more consistent, they have longer distance potential with their drives, and they're also straighter. So all in all, we consider the buy Titleist versions to be an incredible match with the performance explicitly of the 909 drivers.
And Steve, why the upcharge for the previously stock shafts like the UST ProForce V2 or something, and the market perception is that those shafts cost less than shafts you're offering stock?
I would say that what may cost consumers less for a pure shaft purchase doesn't necessarily reflect the cost that we take on in building a custom club versus a stock club. The overwhelming issue here, though, is really just our intention to strongly imply that we hope consumers go with the stock offerings. We think those are the best choices from a performance standpoint overall. We think we're delivering a great performance and great value through those, as you just implied. So we really wanted to push the stock offerings.
That segues nicely into my next question about the SureFit carts. We talked about this earlier in the year, but we understand that most fitters will get several driver heads, shafts, and even the little swing weights on the back of the 909 drivers in order to properly fit virtually every player. Can you tell us more about the SureFit carts and how drivers will be integrated into that?
Yeah, can't describe how excited we are about the new SureFit driver cart. Because if you think about the 909 offering unto itself, very much a fitting play. Each of the three drivers we feel are fantastic, but they're different. And so one of the more important parts of the process in getting a new driver is picking the one that's going to work the best. pretty simple. Heretofore, that's been a little difficult. You know, you have to find a place, you have to find a facility or a location or a fitter or a teacher that's got those resources. The interchangeable SureFit driver fitting cart makes that much more accessible to consumers. It's really cool. It's going to have the basic cart has 112 driver options in it. It's got 7 heads and 16 different shafts. And so instantly you've got this ability, and we've done our homework to make sure that the performance of the interchangeable drivers is right there matching the performance of the production drivers. So you've got all these options, which gives you the ability to find the right one. If we're going to go ahead and make these offerings available, it would seem remiss if we didn't also give folks the ability to diagnostically work their way through the offering and pick the one that's best. So that's what the SureFit cart's going to do.
The stack and tilt method of swinging produces a low launch angle with a lot of spin. We understand that that's the toughest player to try to fit. For example, Zach Johnson on the Titleist staff is an example of this. We've heard he's gained anywhere from 5 to 10 yards by moving the ball forward in his stance an inch or so. Is this true? And if so, how does Titleist work with their PGA Tour staff to maximize their driving capabilities? And how should we as an amateur golfer approach a driver fitting if they have some unusual or hard-to-fit swing characteristics?
With Zach in particular, as you indicated, low launch, high spin is a very difficult fit. There's a lot of different opportunities and avenues that we can take to fit that player effectively. At our Titleist Performance Institute, we employ a dual approach method, per se, with our players, in that we first and foremost obviously want to find the best and most optimal driver performance fit to improve their distance potential as well as fit their trajectory control window in their ball flight characteristics. With Zach, he's been open to minor swing changes and modifications in his setup. What that has yielded with the change in his setup position as well as his move towards the 909 D2 driver, he has gained that 5 to 10 yards. Essentially, what we've been able to do for him is be able to produce a ball flight that's more penetrating, that has lower spin, that comes into the ground hotter, and has improved potential for rollout. When you take that to the amateur level, how do we, you know, suggest a fitting methodology towards the amateur golfer? First and foremost, we've offered with the 909 family a variety of 3 distinct trajectory windows, a low, mid, and high ball flight option with spin control within all 3 of those options. We perceive that a player can walk up and find their optimal custom driver within our driver line. We perceive that we have the ability to fit a lot more players than we have in the past because of the options that we're offering from a performance and stability characteristic standpoint.
I think that's a great question because it gets right down to really many of the things that we're trying to attack through, for example, TPI. You know, we talk about there's only so many ways to get better, you know, and it boils down to better technique, better equipment, and better physical capabilities or a better body, you know, and equipment is certainly, you know, we believe one of the key ways to get better. And we're really excited about 909's ability because we don't think there's ever been as comprehensive an offering at delivering such a good window of performance capabilities. You know, one of those 3 drivers in one of those shafts is going to be a really, really good driver for any good player. You just have to find which one it is. But there's always the interesting balance of, you know, where the teacher fitter, you know, doctor patient thing. How much should I approach a swing change here? How much can I get out of an equipment change? And so, you know, we're really confident that this piece of equipment is going to be outstanding at maximizing a player's inherent ability to drive a ball, given their physical capabilities and their swing. But if they can also get stronger, get a better body, and work on their technique, of course you can get more and more out of your equipment. They all fit together. We can only address the equipment one from our desk. We're really excited about that. But if you can do all 3, and I think the best way to do that is through a doctor, through a fitter / teacher, and then you can really, really get the most out of your game.
All righty. Our last question, a little bit of a fun one. You guys seem to like to predict your sales figures. We know what the PGA Tour breakdown is. What are each of your guesses as far as the general sales numbers maybe for the 3 driver models in general usage among the public?
Well, we started out, I can tell you, we started out 60-20-20, Eric. We had 60% D2, 20% D3, 20% DCOM. And then there's been little minor fluctuations between D3 and DCOM. You know, D3's on a little bit of a run right now because there is a pretty good cult following for it. You know, I can say that our pre-orders are running a little higher on D3 and D-Comp than that. It's more like 52-53 D2, and the other two are neck and neck. But generally, I think we're in the ballpark, and that fits really the performance windows of the performance of the three drivers. D2 is the mid play. D-Comp and D3 are more on the bookends.
Was there anything else you guys wanted to share with us about the 909 drivers? Any funny anecdotes or anything else?
We're excited. We've had back-to-back wins.
Yeah, we're rocking right now on the tour. You know, 909's had 4 PGA Tour wins pre-launch. That's a record for us. There's really good momentum around the world, and we're hearing it from the tour and from our customers, and that's really cool. So we're really excited about this one. Again, just because it's such a good performance play. This thing is about performance. You know, we have multiple drivers for performance reasons, not for price reasons or any of that kind of stuff or marketing reasons. We have multiple drivers for performance reasons, and we felt we needed them and that all three are outstanding. And we just hope that we hope golfers take the time to figure out which one's going to be right for them. And we look forward to helping them hit a ball as far as they can.
Believe in it.
That's right. Performance you can believe in.
All right. We'd like to thank Steve Pelisek, the general manager of Titleist Golf Clubs, and Stephanie Bazella, Titleist Metalwoods Development Manager, for talking with us today. That about does it for this episode. So check back later for more with Titleist on the 909 Fairway Wood and Hybrid and the new line of Oakley Wedges.